Good morning, everyone. I appreciate it. Happy Friday, Jamie. I always love when you say that to me. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
We just got confirmation. We have been working on this earlier, or last night and this morning, without confirmation, so I didn't want to go on the air and talk about it. But we just got confirmation that Carrie Lake will join me on the show at 8:35. So about 20 minutes from right now, we will have Carrie Lake on the show to talk about her win in the gubernatorial primary, unity moving forward. How does she, after such a contentious primary, how does she rally the troops so it's a united front? We know that the Senate President Karen Fan has called for unity in the Republican Party moving into the elections. Can that happen? Will that happen? And we'll talk about the Arizona, you know, all of the Trump candidates, all of them won. The Trump-endorsed candidates was a clean sweep in the statewide races. So the influence in the Republican primary, what remains to be seen is, will that endorsement hurt in a general with as many independent voters as we have? Or are there a lot of right-leaning, independent registered voters that will jump in? So it's a lot. There's a lot to look forward to. We will talk with Carrie Lake in about 20 minutes from right now. We were going to talk about the race moving forward. So what I will do is I'll hold off on that and kind of switch things up and talk about the spending bill. What's happened with this spending bill is the Inflation Act or the Anti-Inflation Act, whatever they're calling this. The Congressional Budget Office and others are saying it's going to do absolutely nothing or very, very little to stop inflation. What this is a climate agenda bill. It's also giving a lot more power to the IRS, which I don't think most people highlighted in here. And we all should pay our taxes. We all should pay something to live in this great country. There's no doubt about that. But what in the end is fair is what we argue about when it comes to taxation. But do we want to now, at a time when Americans are hurting more than ever, raise taxes on the job creators? Because there has been a recession in jobs. Jobs did slow down. Now, they created a ton of jobs. If you look at the jobs report for July, it was huge. They exceeded expectations. But there has been a manufacturing slowdown because of there is a lot more inventory on the shelves of manufacturers because people are slowing down what they're buying. This is what they needed to do to slow down inflation. But the byproduct of that is what we are seeing in a slowing of the economy. It is great news that we have created jobs. It is great news that the jobs market is still strong. But we are seeing people slowing their purchases. Manufacturers are slowing the manufacturing. And how far will that go? That's the line they are trying to walk with trying to, up interest rates, slow down the economy, but not send it into a recession. We'll see how this works. But I know that as we've talked about this in the past, even Barack Obama said you don't take money out of the economy during a recession. So at the time when you are raising interest rates and making it harder to do business, harder for the job creators to do business, there's a big piece of manufacturing in this Inflation Act. We had Chris Netcherwan from the National Association of Manufacturers was on with us yesterday. And he talked about what this will do. What would this do to manufacturers? I want you to hear a little bit of what he said.
So-called book tax, this corporate minimum tax that's being proposed, it effectively writes full expensing immediate depreciation out of the tax code. So that's what's at risk for us here. In fact, we took a look at this to see what would happen. How does that affect manufacturers if this goes forward? And the nonpartisan Joint Committee on Taxation actually looked at this, and they found that about half of the tax burden of this new proposal would fall on manufacturers. That's 49.7% of the burden of this new tax would fall on U.S. manufacturers. So it's clearly a tax on manufacturers.
So admittedly, I'm not someone that likes tax increases on businesses or individuals. I think our taxes should be as low as possible. I'll put my defense out there one more time, and somebody please defeat the argument. I like the debate. Whether you believe that rich people are paying their fair share or not, what we have done is we are giving the United States Treasury more money than ever before out of the income of the citizens of the United States. They have record revenue at the Treasury. So the argument from the federal government, especially when it pertains to the energy sector, has been that oil companies are getting record profits. Senator Mark Kelly is running ads right now talking about corporate greed and talking about price gouging, and he's they are accentuating, or they are showing, they are making sure you know that there are record profits with the oil companies. So they're setting up the battle lines that these oil companies are getting rich and getting richer, and they are doing it at the expense of the American people, when they could really be cutting their prices a little bit and putting a little bit more money back into the pockets of the American people. I mean, that seems to be the message, correct? Well, the president has said it. He even for a short time went after the people that are selling it, after, you know, the retailers, which backfired on them because retailers don't make a whole lot of money when they sell a gallon of gasoline. It's an expensive proposition to install. It's an expensive proposition to maintain. And there's a lot of risk involved. And you pay the lion's share of the taxes and make very, very little on a gallon of gas. So they backed off of that retailers need to lower price thing. But they're still going after the oil companies. Fair enough. If you want to look at that, and it's not true, it's not a lie, it is true, they are making record profits. Well, then how does the federal government not look at itself and say, you know what, we're making record profits too? If you look at a tax and revenue into the treasury as profits, they're making record revenue into the treasury, and they are raising taxes on a sector of the economy. And it's an important sector because those are the job creators. There is also a thing we're going to talk a little later in the show about this. There is a bunch of regulation that the president is going to do with the stroke of a pen through the EPA. And after the Supreme Court decision of what the EPA overstepping its authority, that some of this needs to be laws passed by Congress, the Biden administration continues through regulation to hamstring and do damage to the energy sector, which was their plan all along. So we have seen, I think, 50 straight days of gas prices going down, which is great news. Demand is down from the summer vacations. That's good news. Will it remain that way? And how low will the prices go? Remember, we were under $3 a gallon for four straight years. Under $3 a gallon for four straight years. And we're still above four, well above $4 a gallon, at least here in the Valley. So the American people are looking at this, and I understand if you buy into, and I will tell you at the core, I would say to you, if there are corporations out there, and they say that there are over 100 corporations. Now, if you think about how many corporations there are in this country, and there are over 100 of them, they say, that are like paying 1.1% in taxes overall. They haven't said they've done anything illegal. They're saying they think it's immoral, but they're not saying it was illegal. So they're within the law, they're doing what the laws allow. So now this new thing is a 15% minimum tax. So you think that those corporations that are doing what they're doing right now, and they have legally gotten their tax burden down that low, and I don't have specifics, but that's the number they're using, so we take it at face value that they're telling the truth. Even if they are doing that, and now they're going to jack their taxes up to a minimum of 15%, and it's probably going to go higher than that. It isn't only going to affect those 100 businesses. It affects everybody, and it means you're going to pay more. So at a time when we are trying to lower inflation by raising interest rates and slowing down the economy a little bit, they are implementing tax increases, and they're doing it in the name of climate change. So you may agree with it, but we have to acknowledge what it is. I don't agree with any of it. I don't think the timing of it is right, first of all. I don't believe in the principle of it. Some people believe in the principle of it. I just don't know how you can justify it. Even if you believe in the principle of it, the timing of it could not be worse. Couldn't be worse. And I think that the American people are going to see that as things, if things begin to slow down even more, if things begin to get a little bit more expensive. This is called the Inflation Reduction Act. And if inflation isn't reduced, the American people are going to respond. I just believe that. Coming up in a moment, we are going to speak with the Republican nominee for the governor's office here in the state of Arizona. Carrie Lake wins the race. It was announced last night. She will join us coming up here in a few moments. We will talk about this race moving forward. So make sure you stick around for it.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app. We'll be right back.
Hey, thanks for being here. We are awaiting a call right now. Carrie Lake, a candidate for governor, is joining us this morning. As you can imagine, there is a whirlwind going on around the Lake campaign as the announcement the AP last night called the election for Carrie Lake. So do we have her? Is she there? Okay, good. Carrie, welcome back to the show.
How are you, Mike?
I'm good. I'm probably not doing as well as you are this morning.
Well, victory tastes very sweet, I will tell you that. I'm feeling really good.
Let's talk about what happens next, because now in the general election, it's going to be a whole different set of people that you're speaking to. What do the people of Arizona care about most, and what will you be taking as your message to the people of Arizona to win this general election?
I feel like my message has been geared to the people of Arizona. And I politics has to change. We have to just start being genuine, authentic people from the get-go and not trying to shift things around and then change up who we are. The people of Arizona know who I am. They know where my heart is. I care deeply about this state. That's why I'm doing this. And I believe that all of the issues that I've been running on are issues that all Arizonans care about. Every Arizonan wants to have a secure border. No Arizonans want to have their kids get their hands on fentanyl and die in a death from fentanyl. All Arizonans want to make sure that their children are getting a proper education at school so that they're ready for the jobs. And we want a healthy economy. We all want safe streets. We want to make sure that we can live in a free state where we don't have to be forced to get shots and vaccines against our will in order to put food on the table. I just think these are issues that all Arizonans care about.
It was a very tough primary, as primaries are supposed to be. It got contentious at times with some of the other candidates. How do you unify the party now and get the not just the candidates themselves behind you, but their supporters and their voters that were as passionate as yours? How do you rally the team?
I think I say, hey, do you love Arizona? We're all big boys and big girls, and we need to step forward and say that was a dust up and a grueling fight. And now we come together. And as I said, a couple days ago when I had that press conference, I'm from a big family. I'm the youngest of nine. And, we had fights and we had dysfunction a little bit and we had arguments here and there. But at the end of the day, as a family, we came together as brothers and sisters. And I see that the Republican Party that way. A little bit of dysfunction sometimes, some infighting occasionally. But we agree, I would say, on 85 to 90% of all issues. And I'm talking about people who are like the establishment crowd and the hardcore Trumpers. We agree on about 90% of everything, maybe even more. So let's come together and see Arizona succeed. And I believe that we will. I'm hoping that the governor will come in and get behind us, and we're going to do great things.
So let's talk about election integrity. It was a big part of your campaign. You had made a statement about you even had seen incidents possibly of fraud during this election. Is that going to be a big part of your campaign and message to the people of Arizona as you move forward? And would it be a big part of the office if you win it?
Well, I think everyone saw what happened on Tuesday. We all saw what happened in places like Pinal County, where people showed up to the polls. Independents showed up and asked for a Republican ballot, and they were all out of them. We had them running out of ballots 1 hour into the election. We had days of waiting to get the votes counted. It's a mess. We have to reform it, and we have to make it easier to vote, harder to cheat. That's all we want. It's real basic stuff. And the media is trying to turn it into something it's not. It's all about securing our elections, making them honest, making them transparent, and not dragging them out where we don't know who won for 3, 4, 5, 10, 11 days.
Two big issues.
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah,
Mike, who doesn't? I mean, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the moving forward. And that's why I'm just asking about that, because I know that's a big part of what was a part of the campaign. But I want to talk about two more issues before I let you go. I know you have a heart out. One is the economy is the number one issue. Both parties, independent voters, number one. What does Arizona need to do moving forward to ensure the economy is good for the citizens of this state?
Well, I mean, all of my policies are kind of intertwined. When we secure our border and when we don't have hundreds of thousands of people pouring across, taking jobs, really, that Arizonans could have, that helps Arizona. And so we're going to secure the border, and that keeps a lot more money for us not having to fight the crime and the drugs and all of that. And then we're going to try to lower taxes, and we're going to try to help them with sales tax, help them dropping property taxes. We've got a tax policy that we think will really make life easier for Arizonans so that they can flourish, whether they own a business or they're in the workforce. We have a ton of jobs that we need to fill in Arizona. We need to get our kids ready for those jobs so that they can successfully take those high-paying jobs. And they're not jobs that require a college degree. We want our kids trained to take jobs where they can actually make good money. I think I talked about that welding program they have down at the Vail School District. These kids are getting out of high school, and they're getting offered jobs for $70,000 to $100,000 with full benefits to be a welder. Right. That's a job they can have for life. We got to get our kids ready for those jobs. And when you have a job like that, it's a lot easier to handle a Joe Biden economy.
Well, I know that you have been a big proponent of EVIT like I am and the other CTEDs here in Arizona. But the last question is about education. The two-thirds majority that's going to be needed to release money in the spring with the legislature, where do you stand on that? And how do you work with the legislature to get that done?
You know, I'm going to work with the legislature by having a relationship with these people. I spent a lot of time down there already. I didn't think I was spending a lot of time, but many of the lawmakers said, Carrie, we've seen more of you in 2 weeks than we've seen of our governor in 7 years. And I don't, you know, everyone has their own kind of philosophy and style, and maybe that was the style of Governor Ducey, and that's fine, but that's not my style. My style is about relationships, working with people. As I said, I'm from a big family. You have to work with one another. And working in a newsroom all of my life, you have to work with people and forge relationships. And I think we will work really well with this legislature. And I believe we're going to have a red wave, which will make it even easier.
Well, Carrie, congratulations again on the victory. I look forward to talking to you more often as we work our way through the general election in November. And I know you have a lot of things to do, and I appreciate you fitness in this morning.
Thank you, Mike. It was a real pleasure, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks. That is Carrie Lake, candidate for governor, Republican candidate for governor in Arizona. And we will be talking a lot more with her, and we're going to invite Katie Hobbs on as well, so you're informed voters. Big decision coming in November. We've got 5 statewide races for statewide offices that need to be filled, and Mark Kelly, will he retain his Senate seat? This is a big, big election year. Gatos joins me in a moment. It's the BQ poll question of the day, so please stick around for that.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, good morning, Gatos.
Oh, it should be interesting today.
It's interesting every day.
No, it should be very interesting today. I've gotten word that the head of Arizona's Republican Party will be joining me on the show today.
Kelly Ward is going to be on your show?
I know. Doesn't that sound crazy? The last time she was on the show, she called me a lightweight loser.
Really? You're not a lightweight.
Hey! We'll see how this goes.
Yep. It should go well.
Should be interesting at 2:30 today. Do you have any advice for me? Because we just don't get along. I think she's kind of mean.
Well,
McCain stuff I don't like, and you know.
I'm not a fan of the McCain stuff either. Just be nice.
Always nice.
Okay.
Am I not always nice?
Well, do I have to answer that?
No.
Okay.
No. No. Listen, I'm actually interested in speaking with her.
Listen, I'm like you. I like to have conversations with people I disagree with. I think it makes for better radio, and I think it makes you better at your argument when you can stand up and defend your position.
Yeah. I said yesterday, and I don't know what you think about this. I think it's a good idea. I think that they should not declare a winner in the gubernatorial race until an investigation of what Carrie Lake is calling fraud takes place. I think that's very fair, because I think she doubled down again today and said there was fraud. She was with her lawyer. I think that we should hold off until there's an investigation. I think that's the smart thing to do, if you ask me.
Are you going to lead with that?
Maybe.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm going to be listening. I know that.
You're not even answering my question.
No, I'm not answering your question.
Oh, come on. It's Friday. Answer the question. You know it's a good idea.
I just think.
I mean, if you're going to claim fraud, you should get an investigation first before we put it through.
For an interesting interview that I will definitely be listening to.
Yeah. I see. I wouldn't certify it yet.
Okay.
I'd go through. Listen, you know, that Carrie Lake's a smart cookie. If she says there's fraud, we've got to look into it, Mike. This is serious stuff.
Can we get to the question, please?
The elections in Pinal County.
Yes.
They were an unmitigated disaster.
Absolutely.
I wrote that myself, by the way. I didn't have to Google that word.
Oh, good.
Should they toss out all of the so-called results and redo it?
In Pinal County?
Yeah. A, yes. B, no. C, they'd probably screw it up again. Those weasels over there, by the way, said they'd do an interview with us. One of their recorders was going to join us, and then they backed out.
Yeah.
Those losers.
Well, and
those lightweight losers.
I don't think they helped themselves with that press conference.
I don't think they did either. And it's like they said they were going to do an interview. Great. We'll ask the questions that everybody wants to know. Why are you guys so bad at your job? And at the last second, they backed out. So now they're incompetent. We knew that. And now they're gutless.
Yeah, and I think that the way they handled the press conference, much like when Helen Purcell was the county recorder in Maricopa County, they didn't handle the fallout well, and I think that cost them more than the actual mistake in the end.
And then Richard runs a good election in Maricopa County, and
they censure him.
Goodness gracious. All right, well, wish me luck today.
Good luck, Gatos.
2:30. Dr. Kelly Ward. That should be...
Thanks, Gatos.
Okay, I'll see you.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
All right, the Big Q poll question today brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. 9 o'clock, we're going to talk economy. More people in America are reporting loss of pay in the month of July. That's all coming up.